I asked you like that, how do you remember? I don't remember. We did a message. The message was on heavenly realms. Some of you were here for the message, heavenly realms. Yeah. So when we did this message on heavenly realms, we did the first prayer of Paul. First prayer of Paul is found in the first chapter, verses 17 to 20. And you know, that prayer is about knowing God, that you may know Him. I pray that your eyes will be opened, eyes of spiritual wisdom and revelation. God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know Him, that you may know Him. And then we saw that God may open the eyes of your heart, that you may know the hope of your calling, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the power. And we saw that the power was the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And that power is at work in us. When Christ, God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He raised Him far above rule, authority, power, and dominion, and seated Him in the heavenly realms. So that is the power that is at work in us. And we said, Paul's prayer was that we may know Him, and we may know our hope, we may know our inheritance, and we may know that the power that is available for us. The power that is available for us. So this is Paul's first prayer. Then why is it that Paul had to pray another prayer? Why couldn't Paul pray one prayer and finish it off? Paul's first prayer was for us to know our identity. Paul's first prayer was for us to know who we are. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You know, he starts off with this high note saying, hey guys, this is your blessing. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's nothing that is left. And he's blessed you in the heavenly realms. You know, Paul's first prayer was that we may know that we are not ordinary people, that we may know that we are people who have been seated in the heavenly realms. We have been seated with Him in the right hand of God the Father. You know, that was his first prayer. That's a prayer of, you know, knowledge, revelation, that we may know. And then the second prayer is for us to experience. This experience. That's what you're going to see today. You know, it's amazing. We're doing the book of Revelation, and Valentin is doing like one verse a week, or you know, 1.5 verses in 2 weeks sometimes. And it is such a depth of revelation and knowledge and blessing. And these two prayers, the first and the second prayer, are like key for us to experience and enjoy this great blessing. People of God, you know, church is not an ordinary thing. I want to say this again because, you know, Jesus, God sent His own Son for the church. God sent His own Son for the church. That's history. But today, church is God's Son being the head and you and I being the body. And this is an unusual, awesome privilege, people of God. Paul's heart was there. You may know. And after that, you may experience what this is, you know, experience what this is. And it's my prayer that we will actually see and know and understand. Every time I read this, I get so excited. Every time I read this, I get so so blessed. And then during the week, suddenly, you know, like a ball with the air that is, you know, suddenly all the air is gone and the balloon is, you know, loses, it comes down, you know. And again you have to read it and say, is it true? Oh Lord, you're saying all this, is it true? This is our experience, it's true. Sometimes we read it and we get so excited. And then we look at our lives and then we say, oh my God, it's not there. Is it real? Is it real? I want us to be encouraged, saying this is real. This is the word. This is God's word. It's just that we have not experienced it. And we look at this today. This is God's prayer, or Paul's second prayer. And this is like, you know, six in one. Six in one is like six runs that they scored in the last World Cup. Four runs plus two runs. First time they hit a six, all with the ball rolling on the ground. That's Paul 6. We're going to look at it. Why did I put this picture? Because it's six, but it's all in one. You know, it's the same point, but it's everything composite. It's one huge blessing with six components of the same blessing. That is for us to experience what Paul said. We have a hope, a high calling. We have a hope and a high calling. Each one of us, God has called us. You know, I should be the most discouraged person. In 7 years' time, there are many times when, you know, we've had like 10 people, 7 people in church. Many times, you know, it was so discouraging. Should we run church at all? But you know what? That's the greatest joy. I said, I'm not this church. You know what? God saw that and said, now you run church. Okay? Now you run church. Which means you have to be here. The people come or not, you have to be here. You can't go on holidays. You can't take take weekends. Many things, privileges, leisure that not normal people take, you can't take. But God saw it fit for us to sit here or wherever we were to run this. Run this. You know, God has a high calling for us. God has an inheritance for us. Many people think our inheritance is, you know, in my father's house there are many mansions. You know, John 14:1, that is after death. But the Lord says, we have an inheritance right here. You know, why did God give the Old Testament? Why did God give, you know, the inheritance for every tribe in the land of Israel? Why did God write all that saying, Judah, this is your portion. Ephraim, this is your portion. You know, why? Because God wanted us to look at that and say that here on earth there is an inheritance for us. Not just land. There is an inheritance in the spiritual realm. And there is a power that is at work in us. And God says, the Bible says, and Paul says, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same power that brought him to life, that is at work in you and I. That is at work in you and I. I want you to believe this. You know, this is God's word. In the lowest of moments, I want you to say, Lord, what he's saying, is it true? I want to believe. In my mind, I'm not even acknowledging it. But Lord, I want to believe. In your spirit, receive it. And the Lord will make that power work in your life. Amen? So let's look at these things. The first one. That you may be strengthened with might. You know, when we read this word, we feel like, you know, Samson. We feel like probably Goliath. You know, many times when we read verses in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we read those, you know, powerful verses, we tend to feel, okay, I'm going to be like this. Our understanding of power, our understanding of might, our understanding of strength is quite different. You know, it's like a top IAS officer. He can do anything in his office or in his, you know, domain. Or a person having all influence, I can, you know, pull strings, I can make a phone call, you know, that is all power. Or like an Ambani or an Adani or a top politician, you know, our understanding of power is so limited. Our understanding of power is, you know, all the money in the world, all the power in the world, all the influence in the world, all the reputation, all the popularity. But you know what? Paul's prayer is slightly different. Receive this might, this power. There are three things that he says. Let's look at them one by one. Says, in the inner man, be strengthened in the inner man. Out of these six, the first one is the key thing. That's why Paul gives it as the first thing. That you may be strengthened in the inner man. You know, our inner man's strength is the real spiritual strength. Our inner man's strength is the strength with which we will run our life. That's why he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. You know, the spirit is the one that strengthens our inner man. You know, our inner man's strength. And you know, our inner man's strength will be made available not in fair weather. That's why a lot of fair weather Christians don't have inner strength, don't have that versatile ability to run the life of faith. When things are good, there are smiles. When things are bad, or you know, when things go wrong, there are frowns. no smiles, of course. But that's not the inner strength. God wants us to be strengthened in our inner man. Inner man strength will keep your face smiling, whether it's rough weather, storm, waves, wind, whatever happens in life. Our strength is in the inner man. Our strength is in the Lord. Praise God for inadequacies. So if there are inadequacies, there are things that are not happening in your life, I want you to praise God. I want you to take heart, you know, and say, okay, Lord is building my inner man. Lord is strengthening me. That inner man that God wants to be strong is being made strong in these inadequacies. There are four things I want us to look at. Strengthening of the inner man is not done by us. Strengthening of the inner man is done by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God does that strengthening when we pass through certain times in our life. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. That is the treasure. That is the strengthening of the inner man. And he says, you know, I am pressed on every side, but I am not crushed. I am pressed on every side, and I am not crushed. Are you pressed on every side? Remember the times you are pressed on every side. You are pressed on every side. It's not the, if you go in certain trains at certain times, you'll be crushed on every side. The Bombay train, they say you don't have to get into the Bombay train. You don't have to get out also. You left, just have to go and stand near the entrance. You'll be pushed in. You'll be pushed out, sucked in and sucked, you know, sent out, literally. That's pressed on every side. But you know, in life, if you're being pressed on every side, so much so you're not able to concentrate, your mind is constantly in turmoil, things happening around you are so stressful, that's the time we need to allow the Holy Spirit to walk in our lives and receive that word saying, come unto me, all who burden and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will do this. I once worked for a company where for a period of 6 months we were pressed on every side. Morning to evening we had laborers, we had pullers, we had, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. And you're the head of the company, the location, and you have to just keep the ship afloat till you reach the shore. Pressed on every side, pressed on every side, but not crushed. Pressed on every side, but not crushed. Only the Lord can do that. Most people resigned and went for other jobs. Most people ran away. Most people abandoned project sites. But that is the time the Lord will give you strength to go and stand and face and come out with solutions. Many projects in the city of Chennai, I was based in Chennai, that many of the other locations just closed down. They just stopped project site. But I would go, I would talk to Hiranandani there in this place, saying, look, this is a crisis. Can you help us? Can you pay the vendor directly? Can you pay the people, laborers directly? We will do the work. We have the expertise. We finished several projects in Chennai. We finished in the worst of times. Pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Certain things will happen in our life that will make it so difficult, make life so difficult. Perplexed, but not in despair. You know, the strengthening of the inner man, that's why I said, that will not happen in fair weather. That will happen in rough weather. That will happen when you're perplexed. And that's when the peace of God will come upon you and you're not in despair. I know my mother, she went to pray, and I went with her to that place where she prayed. And that person said, pray for your husband, salvation. And I know, 14 years she prayed. I would pray with her every morning. And 14 years later, my father came to the Lord. And those 14 years were perplexing times. Perplexing. I can't narrate you details. But my mother was never in despair. Yeah, she will cry, she will, you know, she will go through the emotions, but not in despair. Every morning she will sing a song, every morning we'll read the prayer, and every morning she will start off with faith. And the husband was saved after 14 years. This is the treasure in the earthen vessel. This is the strengthening of the inner man. You know, when we are in despair, if we are no different from the people in this world, shame on us. God is calling us to a life of faith. God is calling us to live a life of faith. God wants to build our inner man. So when we are in despair, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Persecuted but not abandoned. I told you this part of Tiago, you know, persecuted. But the same place where local people came to beat him up, there were other local people who came to support him. Came to support him. There's a friend who was traveling from Thane to Madurai. And there's a gentleman who was working in Madhya Pradesh. And he was traveling with us. And he said, they would go and, you know, put the Jesus film in Hindi. And there was a place where they went and put the Jesus film in Hindi. And the generator and all that. And the people in the town had planned it so well. They came, switched off the generator and started coming. And this man said, oh my God, I think this is the end of it. And he prayed his last prayer, saying, Lord, please protect my family. And as he finished saying that, the local inspector came there. And he came there with his jeep. And he wielded his lathi and chased these guys out. And made them put it on, beat them up, and said, these people have come here to bless us. The drunkards are being converted, becoming all right. He beat those local guys, and under that supervision, the meeting took place. Hallelujah. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Persecuted, but not abandoned. The days to come, there will be persecution, but the confidence and hope is that the Lord will not let us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Struck down but not destroyed. Struck down but not destroyed. Paul is narrating his own experience. There's a place where they thought he was dead and they left him. And then he got up and walked. Struck down but not destroyed. In our life, because we are Christians, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be struck down. Will be struck down. I know times in my corporate life where, because I'm a Christian, because I stood up for my convictions, I was put down. You know what? The Lord is good. In the right time, at the right time, you know, it might look as if you, praise God, struck down but not destroyed. E.B. E.B. may knock it off, but God has a backup. God has a backup. Praise God. Struck down, not destroyed. The right time. You know, it's not always being on top that matters. It is being where God wants you that matters. It's being where God wants you that matters. Being where God wants you, but manners. In my company, there used to be a system. We had salary plus we had commissions. You know, 1% of sale was a commission. And my boss used to transfer me. He used to change my territory quite regularly. And the thing about it is, you go to a new place, you develop that place, and you know, when things are so good, he would change your territory and give it to somebody else. The chap who get my territory will call me and say, thank you, David. That means the work that you did, I'm getting now. 14 machines like that, you know. He called and told me every time. I used to say, Lord, why? You know, I did all this work, it's all going there. But you know what? That doesn't matter. It matters where God wants you to be. Matters where God wants you to be. You know, struck down and not destroyed. The third thing is according to the riches of His glory. according to Jesus. See, I want us to, you know, focus on this, our inner man. You know, God wants us to be strengthened in our inner man through the Holy Spirit, according to the riches of His glory. You know, this strengthening of the inner man has a glory of God. This strengthening of the inner man has God's seal. And God's seal will reveal His glory. There will be something different, something special. You know, you pass through a crisis for a reason, for your inner man to be strengthened. And when you come out, like Job says, you come out as gold. Yes, refined. Yes, going through crisis, the crucible of fire, but coming out as gold. Coming out as gold. That is the glory of God. You know, if we go through all the difficulty and then, you know, somebody says, brother, this problem is over. What over? I paid some money and got out of it. There's no glory to God. There's no glory to God. Glory to God is when God intervenes and does something. God intervenes and does something. That is the treasure in earth and riches. That is according to the riches of His glory. That is according to the riches of His glory. In that island where Paul was marooned after the shipwreck. He was there. He was going there, and you know, they were taking some firewood to burn, prepare some food. And as he took the firewood, there was a snake that was curled on his arm. The people in that village, that island, they said, this man is a murderer. Look, he survived the shipwreck. Now the snake has caught him. While they were watching Paul, you know, the thing that was said in Mark, you will believe, these things will follow those who believe. They will pick up serpents. Exactly what happened. He picked up the serpent. Nothing happened to him. He shook it off. It fell into the fire, and the fire burned that serpent. And those people looking at him, those who called him a murderer, he says, this is God. G, what he called, small g. That's what's written there, Acts 28, verses 4 and 6. According to the glory, the riches of His glory. This is the strengthening. Our inner man's strengthening will happen when we are pass through fire, when we are persecuted, when we are afflicted, when we are passing through tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You Christians who look for a what shall I call, limousine ride. An inner man will not be strengthened. God will let you ride in a limousine, that's fine. But God will allow you to go through the crucible of affliction. God will allow us to go through tribulation. God will allow us to go through difficulties. But when the Lord does a thing in our life, when our inner man is strengthened, when the riches of His glory is revealed by the power of His Spirit, our inner man is strengthened. That is what we need to look at. That is what we need to look at. You know, all of these. This is what Paul's prayer is. Paul's prayer is, you know, you are people seated in the heavenly realms. Don't walk like people in this world. You are people who have a hope. You are people who have a hope of your calling. You have an inheritance. You have the power of God that is at work in you. Don't walk like the people in this world. Let your inner man be strengthened. You don't have to wait till you become 40. Right where you are in your MOP college, God will strengthen your inner man. Your inner man. Young people, your inner man. Samuel was 5 years when the Lord strengthened his inner man. And he lived for the glory of God. Number 2. Like the picture, Shalom? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is the second thing. Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. You know, when we receive our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He comes to live in our hearts. That's salvation. But now Paul is talking about a greater experience. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking to the people who are saved. He's talking about a mystery. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is a teaching. I mean, Paul's teaching of Christ in you and in Christ is a mystery, and it's a mystery even today. Because most people say Jesus is a name, I receive him as my personal savior, happy boy. But you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, no, don't stop with that. I want you to go to the next level. I want you to see what Jesus said. He said in John chapter 14 verse 10, he said, let's turn to John chapter 14 verse 10. Thank God for Philip. Philip is also my first name. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Verse 8. And he goes on to explain, having been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And verse 10, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And he says, the Father who dwells in me does these works. You know, this is a different thing from salvation. Christ in me. And then he says, Father in me and I in the Father. And if you go on to read verse 20, he says, verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Just like Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father in me, Christ in me and I me in Christ. I want you to take time, because this truth will release us into a great fullness. This truth, understanding that Jesus in me and me in Jesus, Christ in me and me in Christ, no difference. That's why the people in Antioch were first called Christians. They look like Christ. They look like Christ. And they said, they were Christians. Call them Christians. This is a mystery. This is a mystery. Accepting it first is the key to breaking the mystery. Constantly we look at ourselves and say, me? How can I be like Christ? You know? That's a problem. That is a problem. But that's the reality. And Paul says, we also lived among them. Ephesians 1, 2, 3. He says, we were dead, chapter 1, verse 1. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. You know, when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And verse 3, he says, we also lived among them. We followed the cravings of our sinful flesh. Yes, Paul is also like that. He also was like that. But then when he understood, look, and when I come to Jesus, when Jesus comes into my life, there is something different. You know, it's not an ordinary life. Living in the heavenly realm, he says, Christ in me and me in Christ. As the Father is in me and me in him, he says, you in me and I in you. Now this is a mystery, this is a revelation. Paul had it, and Paul is praying, look, I understand it. I want this understanding, I want this experience for you also. I want to be honest with you. I'm also trying to understand and experience this. I've heard it so many times. Try to imagine it. And many times I don't accept it. Saying, how can I be in Christ? Christ in me, okay. But me in Christ and he in me, like Jesus is the Father and the Father in him. What an analogy. But that is the reality. That is the experience that Paul wants us to go through. He says, I want you, you know, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How will it happen? In faith. That is where our faith comes in. As long as we try to, you know, logically reason out, understand, we will fail. At some point of time, we have to say, okay, that's what it says. I want to believe. Yes, I believe. Christ in me. Me in Christ. You know, this morning when it was raining, I put on this outside light. I came out and stood, and as it was, you know, as the rain was lashing, 4 o'clock in the morning, the sound, you know, I couldn't control myself. I was just shouting and worshipping. I said, Lord, wonderful, wonderful, wind and the waves, wind and the storm and the rain, obey you. You are releasing it, you know. There was such such an expression, and it was so loud, so I didn't mind, you know, nobody can hear. I can't be louder than the wind and the rain. Christ in us, Christ in me, me in Christ. The book of Ephesians, so many times, in Christ, blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ, made you alive with Christ, raised you up with Christ, seated in the heavenly places with Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Every blessing in Ephesians, every act, everything that is mentioned is an in Christ blessing. Number three, rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Can you distribute this? I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. I want you to read it from here. I want us to read it together. And verse 4, 5, 6 and 7, where I've removed the word love and I put the dotted line there. I want us to put our names and read it. Rooted and grounded in love. Many of these things may not apply to us. Many of these things may not be our experience. That is why he says, the previous verse, he says, that Christ may be in your hearts in faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts in through faith. So I want us to believe that yes, many of these things are not valid or applicable to us. But I want us to believe in faith. Okay? Shall we read? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I have give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. David is patient. David is kind. David does not envy. David does not boast. David is not proud. David does not honor others. David is not self-seeking. David is not easily angered. David keeps no record of wrongs. David does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. David always protects. David always trusts. David always hopes. David always perseveres. Lord, I pray this will be our experience. Lord, a lot of the things that are said in the world, we don't experience it and we give it up. We don't want to give it up, Lord. We ask in faith that this will be our portion. Jesus' name. Number four, I put a question mark. It says, the love of Christ, that we may comprehend the length and depth and breadth of the love of Christ. And the key here is not us individually comprehending. You know, a lot of us will comprehend all for me, you know. Beyond all, above all power, above all. You know, you see the song, read the song, and finally, you did this all for me. Did this all for me. We can say that. Personally, we know the love of Christ. We understand. Lord, you did all this for me. But the point here, the point four, is that we may comprehend with all the saints the length and breadth and depth of God's love. That's the difficult thing. That's what church is. A lot of people today love, you know, with this TV coming on, this live worship. You can hook on to Bethel TV, you can hook on to Lakewood Church, You can hook on to the New Life Assemblies of God. You can sit in your house and worship and say, "You did this all for me." But Paul says, comprehend with all the saints. That's why you have to go to church. With all the saints, worship and sing the song. With all the saints, comprehend the love of Christ. With all the saints, understand what God is doing. The last, this is the month of Adi, and me along with one other prayer partner here, we've been going around Santi. We've been going around the places, and you know, every place we go, we to pray, we see a lot of Hindu temples. But in some places, yesterday's visit, we saw, the first day, there were more churches than temples. And all remote places, and I would say, what a place. A person has come and built a church. What a place. And there's one. Please go and find Anthony, St. Anthony's Church. It's a Catholic church. Swank Church. Behind Hiranandani Palace Gardens, between there and you know, that side. Inside, all around there, they're just brick kilns. There are no factories, there are no houses like this, they're only huts. But a nice big Catholic church. And we're talking to ourselves, saying, what a nice church they built in such a remote place. Comprehending the love of God. With all the saints. I tell you, those people working in brick kilns, they are literally born slaves for life. Their life is very difficult. But they all come together and worship the Lord. Comprehending His love with all the saints. Now, that is. And when we see, when we saw so many of those churches, I said, yes, Santi is our vision. But at the rate at which we are going, I don't think we'll do anything, you know, like that here. And we praise God for these people who have gone to those remote places and built churches and said, God bless these people. They've had the guts to come and put a church in this place. And there's one church next to a temple. Next to a temple. I said, Lord, bless this pastor. He said, we bless those people. Bless those people. Praise God. That we may comprehend His love with all the saints, the length and breadth and depth of His love. Right. The next one. What is it? That we may know. That we may know. Can you read that? Ah, praise God. Now I know that nobody is looking into your back. Yeah. What does it say? That we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Lot of people are insecure in this world. Anything happens, their face will become small. Somebody else got a blessing, their face will, you know. You know, there is a security in knowing the love of Christ. There is a security in knowing the love of Christ. The love of Christ that passes knowledge. We are, you know, we want to know everything and then we are happy. Daughter was going to the US for her, you know, 1 year program to CFNI. And I have this habit of saying things very firmly and I will keep repeating it. I would say, look, when you check into the counter, take your only your boarding card. Make sure your passport is secure. Keep your ticket, everything can go inside the bag. Don't be carrying it, carry only the boarding card. So when I was saying this, this is a repeated statement, so you know. So when I was saying this, she just, you know, didn't listen to me. She was, she gave me a cold stare and went off. Now, when she was in London, when there was a transit, she suddenly discovered that her passport was missing. She went to the gate and found the passport was missing. And she ran helter-skelter. And you know, then she remembered, oh, my father said, this is what my father was saying. You know, praise God she found that. But when she came back, she said, Daddy, you said this. And when you were saying this, I scorned you. Now I will not do that. You know, knowing the love of Christ above that passes knowledge, above knowledge. You know, that is being secure that your Father loves you. He might be very hard on you sometimes. He might keep telling you certain things. Don't do this. Go and join that girl. Go to the wrong company. He might say this. He may not like it. But being secure in knowing that Jesus loves you, that is knowing the love of Christ. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, Paul's prayer that you may be strengthened in the inner man. Strength according to his glory by the Spirit. It ends with being filled with the fullness of God. We can't imagine the fullness of God. We can't imagine the fullness of God. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. As the waters cover the sea. Glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of God. As the waters. Can the sea be filled anymore? The sea is filled anymore. We'll all go underwater. 2/3 of the world is water. 1/3 is only land. It's filled as much as it can be. Cannot be filled anymore. You know, when I read this verse, I keep drawing pictures. I drew a small jug and, you know, water full of it. You know, saying filled with the fullness. And I looked at this, and said, my God, the fullness of God is only a jug? What a small thinking, very limited thinking. How small is your understanding of God? Being filled with the fullness of God. God is so huge. We limit him to a little jug. Limited to our little cocoon, little understanding, saying, do this God. If you do this, then you're God. Oh, I'll be. The Lord is saying, I'm huge. The fullness of God is so huge. And Paul wants us to be filled with the fullness of Him. Creative, unimaginable. You know, what's not happened before. I want you to just say this one prayer. Lord, will you do something in my life that I've not seen before? Will you do something in my life that I've not seen in the past? The Lord will do it. That is the fullness of God. What has not happened before to happen. And I like this picture. What is that? That's a wineskin. It's a modern wineskin. It's got a nice sling and, you know, a nice bottle cap and all that. It's a modern wineskin. So the Lord is saying, wineskin, as much as we allow the wine to fill us, so much our wineskin will be filled. Jesus gave a nice example, you know, pouring new wine in old wineskins. The wineskin will burst. The Lord wants us to be flexible. The Lord wants us to be open. The Lord wants us to allow His creativity to work in our lives. Saying, Lord, till now it has not happened. Will you do something new in my life? The Lord will do it. We'll be filled to the fullness of God. How many of you want to be filled with the fullness of God? The Lord will fill you. Fill you to the overflow. I always pray, Lord, fill me to the overflow. That means then only it will spill out and you go out. If you're not full, then Lord, I myself am not full. What can I give to somebody else? My preaching also will be like that. Nothing will go out. Lord, fill me to the overflow. Fill me to the fullness of God. Fill to the fullness of God. You know, I like people, the young people, very especially. We old people, actually I'm including myself, I've got an elder person also, who is also pastor on me. The problem with us old people is we've seen life. We've seen things happen. We've seen things not happen. So we've come to certain conclusions. In our mind, there are certain things are fixed. That's the old wineskin. It can't take any more. Look at the new people, look at the young people, full of questions, full of expectations, full of possibilities. That's why we old people can't manage the phone also. We'll have to ask the young people, can you do this for me, can you do that? Because this is full of opportunities, this is full of new things. Today I'm speaking good about the phone, Amy. 20 years ago, nobody would have thought that the net would be a possibility. You all thought only hard wires. Today we have a printer. We can, print from the mobile. We can print sitting at my table, the mobile is there. Wi-Fi printer. We've got a Wi-Fi printer. Old printer's gone, finished. That is the possibility. Impossible. What is impossible with man is possible. I want us to stand up and say, Lord, every one of these six things, Paul's prayer for us. Thank you, Lord. Master, we pray that this will be our portion. Everyone, thank you, Lord. Verse 16 to verse 19. All those six, Father, being strengthened in the inner man. Thank you, Lord. Being strengthened in the inner man. Christ may dwell in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Master, being rooted and grounded in love. Being able to comprehend the length and breadth and depth of Christ with all the saints. To know the love of Christ and to be filled with the fullness of God. Just put your hand on your head and say, Lord, I want this to be my experience. Paul's prayer is a prayer for not only the Ephesian church. It is the church at large. It is for you and I. It is for us as individuals that we may experience the strengthening of the inner man. We may experience being Christ being dwelling in our hearts. We may experience the being rooted and grounded in love. Being able to comprehend together with all the saints the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ personally. To be filled with the fullness of God. Lord, we pray. This is our prayer. Lord, it was Paul's prayer. It is our prayer, Lord, that we will not be the same. We will be transformed into another man. Into the likeness of Christ. Into the fullness that Jesus in me. Christ in me and me in Christ will be our experience, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion, fellowship of the Holy Spirit will make this happen. Rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. God bless you.